I'm Nathan Rutherford, and welcome to Myth Madness. So far on the pod, centaurs, half horse, half men, have appeared a handful of times. Normally, they bring trouble. The hero Heracles had a few encounters with them. He was the cause of multiple centaur deaths and eventually had a centaur cause his own death. This is because in Greek mythology, centaurs are wild, unpredictable, and dangerous. But in this episode, I want to cover one who was not like the others. Chiron was the oldest and wisest of the centaurs. Unlike the others, Chiron was wise, patient, and a great teacher. In art, Chiron and the other centaurs didn't look exactly the same either. The centaurs had a human top half and a horse body below the waist. Consistent with their wild nature, they did not wear any clothes. But Chiron was different. He has the full body of a man, wearing clothes and boots. His horse body and horseback legs kind of erupt out of this clothed human back. Besides the imagery, the origins of Chiron and the other centaurs are also different. There are many Greek sources that cover who the parents of Chiron were, and nicely, they are all fairly consistent. The oldest, from the 600s BC, is a surviving fragment from Eumolus of Corinth's lost epic poem, the Titanomachia. The fragment says Chiron was the son of the Titan king Cronos. Chiron's mother was Philyra, and she was a daughter of the Titan Oceanus. What does this mean? It means Chiron is a half-brother of Zeus, Hera, and the other first-generation Olympian gods. But why does Chiron have a horse body? Eumolus's fragment says that Cronos was in the shape of a horse when he seduced Philyra. This is more or less the same as what the Roman mythographer Hyginus wrote about 800 years later. But Apollonius of Rhodes, writing in the middle of these sources, in the 200s BC, gives a slightly different but also more detailed account in his long poem, The Argonautica. Apollonius says in the days long ago when Cronos still ruled the universe, but after Zeus was born and hidden away, Cronos visited the land at the eastern edge of the Black Sea, so the very edges of the Greek known world, and there slept with Philyra. As it happened, he was already married to Rhea, and Rhea showed up and found her husband Cronos and his lover Philyra in bed together. Surprised, Cronos turned into a horse and galloped away, while Philyra was left to walk away in shame. She later gave birth to the half-horse, half-immortal, Chiron. The name Chiron means skilled with hands, and it is linked to another Greek word, chirurgos, which means surgeon. And that really gets to the heart of Chiron's role in Greek mythology. He is the legendary inventor of medicine and surgery. And as a patient and wise centaur, Chiron served as a teacher for various Greek heroes. Medicine and surgery are some of the most important things he taught his students. Heroes and the children of gods learned how to use different herbs and dried roots to concoct life-saving potions, drugs, and salves. This helped them reduce inflammation, staunch blood, and dress wounds, all important skills for heroes slaying monsters and fighting in wars. The poet Homer even shows one of these students in action. In the Iliad, the hero Achilles knows how to cut arrows out of thighs and dress wounds with helpful medicines, skills which he uses to help his fellow Greeks during the Trojan War, and he ultimately got this knowledge from Chiron. But the centaur's most famous medical student is the Greek hero and god of medicine, Asclepius. He was the son of the god Apollo and a human woman named Coronis. So Asclepius is a demigod, half god and half human, putting him in the same category as most of the Greek heroes. The story of how Asclepius came to be raised by the centaur Chiron is a wild ride. The earliest account of the stories are the songs by the archaic age poet Pindar, who lived around 500 BC. As it happened, Apollo got his lover Coronis pregnant with a child. But she was also having an affair with a mortal man named Ischys. Because Apollo had prophetic powers, he knew about Coronis' infidelity, and so shot Ischys with arrows. Coronis herself also died after being struck by the arrows of the goddess Artemis while in childbirth. Later, when a funeral pyre was lit to burn Coronis' body, Apollo was there and took one big stride into the flames. He cut the unborn baby out of the mother's dead body, opened a pathway through the fire, and took the baby away. That baby was Asclepius, and Apollo took him to Chiron to raise. The centaur nursed the infant, and when he was older, taught him the soft-fingered skills of medicine, so the hero would be a healer of all mankind's maladies and ills. And indeed he did. Sources from the classical, Hellenistic, and Roman periods provide us with expanded myths for Asclepius after he left the home of Chiron. In those, Asclepius used his newfound powers of medicine and began to cure diseases, even when people were on the point of death. There is even one story of Asclepius bringing a man back to life and being rewarded with gold by the goddess Artemis. Eventually, though, Asclepius's unnatural powers got the attention of Zeus. There are numerous sources, Hesiod, Pindar, Apollodorus, and others, who say that Zeus zapped him with a thunderbolt. The Greek writer Diodorus claimed this occurred after Hades complained he was being robbed of subjects for his underworld realm. Besides Asclepius, Chiron was a teacher of many Greek heroes scattered across multiple generations. He was a teacher of Jason, Peleus, Heracles, and Achilles, all of which will get their own episode sometime in the future. Before them, though, one of Chiron's earliest students was Aristaeus. He is one of the least well-known today, but was also one of the most important to the ancient Greeks. Aristaeus's mother was a human named Cyrene. She was a woman who despised the traditional activities of an ancient Greek female, things like weaving and other things. Cyrene was an outdoorsy type, spending her time hunting and shepherding. She eventually got the attention of the god Apollo, who, according to Pindar's account, found her one day in the middle of a fight with a fearsome lion. She fought the lion with her bare hands, not even using a spear, and Apollo was very impressed. Apollo told Chiron to come out of his cave and get a look at the lady. They watched together and marveled how she courageously fought the lion, with a heart that rose to the challenge and a spirit that never was shaken by the cold storms of fear. Apollo asked Chiron if it was right to pluck the flower of love. They're pretty words. Apollo was in love. Chiron told Apollo that he would be a husband for the girl. There was no word on what Cyrene thinks. She was still fighting that lion. But after she defeated it, Apollo carried her over the sea to Libya. There, she founded a city and also gave birth to Apollo's son, Aristaeus. The god Hermes took the baby boy and carried him away to be placed on the knees of the Horae goddesses and Gaia. The baby was fed nectar and ambrosia with the intent it would make him immortal and he would one day join the gods. Later, a young Aristaeus was given to Chiron to raise at his home in Mount Pelion. He was taught prophecy and healing. He didn't just learn things from Chiron, either. From his mother, he learned how to hunt and track animals. He learned various crafts from Hephaestus, winemaking and mysteries from Dionysus, farming from Demeter, weaving from Athena. He had cults in various parts of Greece. In Boeotia, he was very important. He was associated with beekeeping, cheesemaking, growing and storing fruit, sheep shearing, herding, all that good stuff. There are a lot of different stories concerning Aristaeus in Greek myth. In all cases, he plays the role of a culture hero, sharing benefits and knowledge with humans all over the place. Aristaeus' name comes from the Greek words for the best, the excellent, or the most useful. It's not really a name, more like an epithet that would be attached to a name. The different accounts of Aristaeus are found all over Greece, and they likely at first referred to different beings, all with roughly the same epithet, who were later merged together and united as one. In most accounts, he is the son of Apollo and Cyrene, but sometimes he is surprisingly a son of Gaia and Uranus, making him a sibling of the Titans. And then in other cases, Chiron himself is his father. In the myths, Aristaeus was married to Autonoe, the daughter of Cadmus, and a princess from the city of Thebes. Their sons, according to Hesiod, were Charmus, Callicarpus, Actaeon, and Polydorus. Their son Actaeon turned out to be another pupil to Chiron. The centaur taught him how to hunt well. Unfortunately for Actaeon, he stumbled upon the goddess Artemis bathing in the woods one day, and because he saw her naked, the goddess turned Actaeon into a stag and then set his own hunting dogs loose to devour him. Naturally upset about the death of his son, Aristaeus went to the oracle of Apollo. He was told he should leave Thebes forever and go to the island of Chios. Afterwards, he continued traveling to Libya, and then to Sicily and Sardinia, bringing his cultural knowledge to the people who lived there. For helping to spread civilization, Aristaeus was probably the student Chiron was most proud of. Greek myths give examples of Chiron teaching various heroes medicine, hunting, and other specific skills. But he was also responsible for raising these young men to adulthood more generally. So what else was he teaching with all that time? One poem, called The Precepts of Chiron, may provide some clues. This lost poem was often attributed to Hesiod during ancient times. It was very likely not written by Hesiod. Whoever wrote it, though, made the narrator of the poem the centaur Chiron himself, and he shares his knowledge while instructing the young hero Achilles. Four quotations in other Greek and Roman works of literature provide us with some fragments from the lost poem. Two of them may give a hint on the types of things Chiron was supposed to teach his students. And what's interesting is, they don't say anything about teaching skills like healing or hunting or archery. You know, the kinds of things you'd expect someone to teach a bunch of glory-seeking heroic warriors. Instead, Chiron shares wisdom that fits more in the category of modern-day self-help. One fragment says this, "Whenever you come to your house, offer good sacrifices to the eternal gods." This one is actually listed as his first piece of advice, perhaps showing that first and foremost, Chiron considers it proper to always honor the gods. An important thing to remember, in a world the Greeks believed was controlled by a whole multitude of fickle and easy-to-offend immortals. And then there is the second fragment. "Decide no suit until you have heard both sides speak." Here, Chiron is trying to teach restraint. A hero needs to look at both sides before coming to a conclusion. Put reason before passion. Be just and not impulsive. In those two precepts of Chiron, there's hints that suggest the ideal hero was one who was pious and just. It's almost like how knights following chivalry were supposed to behave in medieval times. It's funny, because it's almost in stark contrast to what a lot of the different Greek heroes do in their myths. Instead of acting like knights out of King Arthur and the Round Table, Greek heroes like Heracles and Achilles almost seem to do the exact opposite, bumbling around aimlessly, getting angry, and killing people haphazardly. I guess they should have paid a bit more attention when Chiron was teaching them. Chiron is a teacher. He instructs other Greek heroes, some in healing and other arts, and if the precepts of Chiron are to be taken at face value, he also provides his pupils with a little bit of everyday life advice. He's a teacher for several Greek heroes from different generations, Asclepius, Aristaeus, and later his son Actaeon, Peleus, and later his son Achilles, Jason, and later his son Metis. But what about Chiron's family? Did he raise any children of his own? Chiron lived in a cave on Mount Pelion with his wife. She was a nymph named Chericle. Her name means graceful spinner. As a nymph, Chericle was an immortal like Chiron, but how she fits into the larger divine family changes with the literary source. Sometimes she is a daughter of the Olympian god Apollo, and sometimes she has more ancient parents and is a daughter of the Titans Perses or Oceanus. Chericle actually helped Chiron with his raising of Greek heroes. She and Chiron's mother Philyra served as nurses to the young Achilles when he was brought to Chiron to be raised. Together, though, Chiron and Chericle had three daughters, Hippy, who was also called Melanippe, Achiroe, and Endaeus. They also had a son named Charistus. There are a couple myths that revolve around Chiron's daughters. The Roman writer Hyginus records a story about Chiron's daughter, Melanippe. It's likely this account was based on an earlier play called Melanippe, written by Euripides in the 5th century BC. The girl liked to hunt in the woods around Mount Helicon. She was also seduced by a man named Aeolus, who was a grandson of Zeus. Melanippe became pregnant with Aeolus's child, but as a young woman who was supposed to be a virgin, Melanippe did not want her father Chiron to know she was pregnant, and so she went into the forest to hide until she gave birth. Afterwards, Melanippe was turned into a horse by the gods, after she asked them to make sure her father didn't see her. The Hellenistic period poet Callimachus gives a different version. He says Melanippe was turned into a horse as punishment because she stopped worshipping the goddess Artemis. Either way, it makes sense, since her other name, Hippy, means horse. The Roman poet Ovid gives another story, this one focused on Chiron's daughter, Achiroe. Achiroe went beyond all the teachings of her father. She also learned how to foretell the future and chant the secrets of the three fates. When her father received the baby Asclepius to raise and train in the arts of healing, Achiroe made a prophecy about Asclepius' future. In addition to that, Achiroe also made a prophecy to her father too, and just like how she predicted the death of Asclepius, she also told Chiron how he would die. She apparently broke an important rule though, which was probably something like you can't tell people their fates directly, because after she told Chiron how he would die, the fates prevented her from giving any more prophecies. They used their powers to constrict her throat and forbid her speech, and then finally turned her into a horse. Her neck grew long, her hair turned into a mane, and her remaining words turned into small, whining neighs. Achiroe provided a prophecy on how Chiron's death would come. So how exactly did Chiron die? For that, we have to go to the time of Heracles. During his own adventures, as I went over in the last few episodes, the famous Greek hero ended up fighting against a group of centaurs living in Mount Pholoe. Using arrows to drive them away, he chased the centaurs to a place called Malia, on the island of Lesbos. How he chased them to an island is not clear. Maybe originally they went to a different place called Malia. Anyways, at that time, Malia was the home of Chiron, and the centaurs tried to stay with him so they would be safe from Heracles. But when Heracles finally arrived, he shot an arrow into the group of centaurs huddled around Chiron. The arrow went through the arm of one of the centaurs and landed in Chiron's knee. Now, Chiron and Heracles were actually old friends. When Heracles saw he had hurt his friend, he put away his weapons and ran to the wise centaur. He pulled out the arrow and dressed the wound with a salve of herbs Chiron prepared. But it was too late. Heracles used a terrible, incurable poison on all his arrows. Chiron's wound festered and grew rotten, and the centaur returned to his cave and lay in agony. That is the story recorded by Apollodorus. He also says that when Chiron lay in his cave, he didn't die right away, because he was immortal. But the poison hurt him so much, he wanted to die, and hoped to trade his immortality away to escape the never-ending pain. As it happened, by some twist of fate, the old Titan Prometheus, who was so important for the creation of early humans, was not a complete immortal. The Titan traded his mortality for Chiron's immortality, and so Chiron was able to finally die and escape the pain brought by Heracles' arrows. It's a tragic story of how Heracles killed his friend by mistake. It also doesn't fit very well with a clean order to the Greek myths. Chiron was a teacher of multiple Greek heroes, including the Trojan War hero Achilles. Here, we have Chiron killed by Heracles, even though Heracles was from the generation of Greek heroes before the Trojan War. But other versions of the death of Chiron may help clear up the mess. The Hellenistic Greek poet Diodorus of Sicily seems to agree with Apollodorus that Heracles shot Chiron by accident. But the Romans Hyginus and Ovid give a different tale. Hyginus says Heracles once came to visit Chiron, and while they were sitting with each other examining Heracles' poisoned arrows, one of them fell to the floor and pierced Chiron's foot. Ovid's version adds more details to the story. He says that when Heracles visited Chiron, Achilles was a young boy and the current pupil of the centaur teacher. Achilles was excited to see the famous hero with his lion skin and a large club come for a visit, and while the three were getting acquainted, the young boy couldn't resist touching the shaggy skin of Heracles' lionskin cloak. One of the arrows slipped from Chiron's fingers and again landed on his foot. Chiron died in front of a crying young Achilles. Ovid's story does not mention the trade-off with Prometheus. That whole thing is only found in Apollodorus' version. And that's the life of Chiron. His role as a teacher of heroes goes back all the way to the earlier days of archaic Greece, with mentions by Homer and in Hesiod's Theogony. As a centaur, he is an unusual figure, as his temperament does not match the typical nature of centaurs in Greek mythology. Centaurs are normally associated with the wilderness, drunkenness, and the general unpredictability of life on the fringes of civilization. Chiron is the complete opposite. He is a bringer of civilization, essentially a culture hero. And that's all for today. If you're enjoying this podcast, please share it with a friend. As always, thank you for listening.